Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live this morning, a tribute to the King of Blues, B.B. King. As many of you know, my father was a professional jazz blues guitarist, and we all played music professionally in our family. And B.B. King is one of those people that my dad gave props to, and he didn't give props to too many people too easily. But he's one of literally, I could count on a handful, on my hand. On one hand, I could count the guitarists that my dad would kind of bow down to as a guy who played professionally for many, many years. He was the King of Blues, and we're honored to have his daughter, the daughter of the blues, Shirley King, coming onto the show in a moment. This is my favorite, one of my favorite B.B. King songs, but I'm sure any of you that are blues fans would say the same thing. He won a Grammy for it. Just a moment of this. This is from 89. I think B.B. was in his 60s. The Thrill Is Gone. I teach a guitar course here in Los Angeles, Los Angeles Valley College, and I literally play these leads by B.B. King for the class to teach them what vibrato is all about. He had a tonality of vibrato when he played that was just unbelievable. Nobody did it like him. Well, his daughter, Shirley King, that will be joining us in a moment, is the daughter of the blues, and she sure got her dad's mojo. This is Shirley doing Thrill Is Gone here. I believe this is in Chicago. It looks like it's 2013. But I want you to hear Shirley sing it. She's got the feel. She's got the mojo working here. This is her daughter, Shirley King. She's feeling it, and I remember my dad telling me when I started playing out professionally as a little boy in the bars at 7 years old, he'd let me hear B.B., and he'd say, you got to feel the music like that, and you got to play with people to feel the music like that, and if they don't feel the music like that, you don't want to be playing it with those folks. But anyways, we'll be back in 20 seconds with the daughter of the blues, Shirley King. See you right back. Hi, is this you, Shirley, on line one, area code 630?
Yes, it is. It's me.
Well, you sure are the daughter of the blues. Well, man, you feel it just like your dad. You got that same mojo working, I'm telling you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This is so good to finally hear people respecting me being the seed of the legendary, the wonderful, the magnificent, the always the greatest father in the world, Mr. B.B. King.
Well, he was such a gift to us and so blessed. I teach a guitar class out here, I was mentioning in the intro, and I play your dad's stuff, and then sometimes I'll play some of the new guitarists that are all into the testosterone and trying to play so fast, a million notes in their lead, and I'll say, look, BB played about 20 notes in that same amount of measures, and it has a million times more feeling than those thousand notes that other guy played, and you have that feeling too, that anointing from God to just really feel the music.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I am so honored and happy to know that the people that I'm now reaching out to promote the book or saying things to me that I probably didn't get a chance to hear enough from my dad because he was always busy keeping the blues alive. But now that I'm out here on my own, making sure that the legacy lives on through me, what I can do from my point, because guess what? It can't be done any further. After B.B. King, the mold was broke and thorn. It was thorn somewhere where nobody would be able to ever put that in action again. So I feel good hearing that there are some people recognize the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. I had many years to sit on stage and watch my dad and create who I wanted to be. But when it was time to step in and actually carry on what he so much loved the whole time he was here on earth.
I was so grateful, and I felt very strongly from the spirit, Shirley, the last time your dad was here at the Saban Theater in Los Angeles. I felt this strong impression, go see him. It's your last chance to see him again. And
wow.
Yeah, I told my wife and kids, you know, I got to get down there. I really feel strongly. And I had that strong feeling, too, about Michael Jackson, who was a friend of mine, that I told my wife and kids, Michael's going to be gone in a couple months. And I hate to say it, but I just had that feeling really strong. So I went down and saw him at the Saban Theater, and at the end of the show, he led us all in a sing-along of Oh, When the Saints Go Marching In.
Oh, yeah. It felt like an old-time revival,
I'll tell you.
You know, he started out in gospel, so I think if the Lord had spared him some more years here, because I'm not sure he left out on his own, that's still a question to be answered. But I think he would have went back to gospel because that got him started, and he really embraced that. But the fact was, you know, trying to make a living as a gospel artist, it's not so easy. It's better now than it used to be. But when my dad was out here doing it, most of the most famous can really sing people started out in gospel, because when you sing gospel, you're going to have to somewhat be able to sing. You can't play around with it. And, you know, if you can't make a living doing what you're doing, you got to do what you got to do. And my dad, you know, would always kind of encourage me, don't do this because of me. Don't do this because you want to be like me, because you're beautiful and you're a female and you don't have to do what I'm doing. But if it's in your heart and you feel it and this is what you really want to do, then you have to prove it to me. So I was never able to hang on to my dad's coattail or be his opening act or follow him around. Now, for a minute, people were using me and exposing me to get to him. But you know, my dad had to prove that in a hardcore way and let me know, you don't have to compete with me. I'm out here doing what I've been doing all these years, and what I'm trying to do is leave it so things are better for you if you do decide to do this and if you keep on going. And it didn't make sense at first because I felt like people used to come up and brag how they was my daddy's opening act and how they had been. And it works. You know, when you flop around names of people you don't work with, you get respected from other people. But I already knew I was his daughter. And if I never work a B.B. King club or never work the B.B. King Museum, which I have not, or never work anything with his name on there, he asked me to cut a pathway out that would mean more for me, Shirley King, not B.B. King's daughter, what's her name. And I think I finally got it, and I started moving, and I have been through so much trying to attain my musical dignity, because it's kind of like really competitive with people wanting to use B.B. King name, and if they see me trying to use it, it always seemed to be sort of a threat. I don't really know how to figure this out, but I decided to do what my dad told me to do. And with this book and the wonderful people I'm talking to and the things that are being said to me, he was very right. He was right, because now is Shirley King able to tell her story about B.B. King, not B.B. King's daughter. What's her name? I don't know, you know, because people knew me as B.B. King's daughter. And sometimes you might would ask them, what's her name? I don't know, but she's supposed to be B.B. King's daughter. And it got to the point where people thought maybe I was just trying to be famous on his name until my dad actually would go to the stage and said, this is my daughter. She's one of my daughters that decided to do what I'm doing. And even still, people didn't want me to be B.B. King's daughter because I don't understand that, but this book is pulling me out that shadow. Plus, it's helped me get through what I've had to go through since my father passed, because as everybody know, it wasn't a beautiful picture. It was something my dad had never did in his whole entire life of being in this business. He was never exposed negative to the media. He was never caught, you know, being in a media spotlight of negativity. And when he got sick, oh, my God, things just blew up like they had never supposed to have done. So I had to really lay back and figure out another way to live with my father's legacy and do it as he would have done, you know, because he would have never exposed anybody for any wrongdoing. He would have never tried to make anybody look bad. He just didn't have the heart to hurt anybody. And so it's been a really rough 2 years, but I thank God for Diane Nyme and Mr. Dave Smithman and the person that got the ball rolling, Mr. Phil Stark and his beautiful wife, Miss Laura, because they've been knowing me for some years and they know all the things that I've been through, and they did not want to give up on me having a book out here, and it has been so wonderful.
Well, I love the title, Love is King, and you all can find that on Amazon, Google, Love is King, Shirley King. The good book
actually
says
it's
love
important.
Always prevails.
Actually, it's in Barnes & Noble now. It is in
Barnes & Noble. Good.
Yes, and it's now been brought out on hardcover, so they're really moving really good. Yeah, they're doing really good, you know. And it's coming up to my dad's second anniversary. I call it his new birthday, because the day he passed was May the 14th, and that day is going to be on Mother's Day. So what an honor to have my dad's anniversary, 2 year anniversary, celebrating with a book.
That's great. So it's coming out about the time of his passing in May. And I love the picture of you and him on the cover, you and him singing together.
Most wonderful picture that will probably ever be ever made of me. I have many of us together, but that's probably one that I will always cherish, because it was sitting on the Buddy Guy Club stage. And Buddy Guy and George Benson had got through jamming with my dad. And because I'm a local, you know, artist here in Chicago, and it's kind of crabby, you know, people are busy trying to be famous and be known. And that day was a test for me, because I'm sitting there and I'm with my dad, and people still trying to overlook me as they have been doing ever since I started singing. I wasn't a threat to anybody as a dancer, but as soon as I crossed over to singing, it's been like nobody's business. So when my dad called me up on the stage and said, ladies and gentlemen, I have my beautiful daughter here. Do you mind if I do a song with her? And I almost fainted. And I saw the look of the people around that did not want that to happen. And I, you know, that little smirk going on like, ha, 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 yeah. I went up on the stage and he sit there, wasn't supposed to be drinking. He toasted with a glass of wine or something. And then he told the band, okay, he didn't play the guitar. He told the band, okay, let's go, guys. And they started playing, The Thrill Is Gone. And here I am sitting on the stage, singing with my father one of the greatest hits he ever had. He had to have a purpose for that. That had to be a purpose. It was very spiritual, very spiritual that day. I think he was passing the torch on to me, because by me being a female and real timid, He didn't think that I would survive this business because it's not a business where you can be timid. And as a female, you're going to get crushed anyway because it's more of a Jane Brown say, a man's world. But my dad just always wanted to encourage me to get stronger. In order to do this, you got to be strong. You can't be intimidated by everything. You can't be intimidated by what people say. You can't let them make you feel smaller than who you are. Just be great on your merit, not because I'm your dad, but be great on your merit. And now I feel like I'm really running, driving my car with my gas, with my father sitting in the passenger side.
Well, Proverbs says your gifts make room for you, and the minute you got up on that stage and sang with him, people knew she's got the gift.
Yeah, and they've been fighting me for the last 2 years. Yes, that, I think it did more to make people really want to kind of compete with me now because it's almost like, you know, as a one of the daughters of somebody famous, most of the people try to build other people up. And I don't think it's us, the daughters and sons of legends, competing with each other. But other people are trying to get behind and spur that because it's now a big competition, okay? But this person's daughter here and this person's son here, blah, blah, blah. And I'm going like, okay, that's fine. We all have legendary fathers, and we're trying to somewhat keep their legacy going, even if we don't do nothing but just go and talk about our parents. You know, you don't have to be a singer to keep your parents' legacy alive. You can be a speaker. You can go out and teach young people. And that's one of my main sources. I don't worry about being famous as my dad was because I saw what happened in the end. So it kind of turned me a little bit about wanting to be famous like my dad. But what it made me want to do is reach out to the younger generation and try to build this thing up. So it don't die out at my father because it's pretty much like all the famous people are dying, falling my daddy away. So pretty soon, you know, if we don't have a backup, we don't have anybody to support the blues is showing up on fade away. And so I work, I have a blues in the school program that don't nobody hire me to do. Nobody puts me on festivals to do my blues in the school. But when I do get a chance to do it, I see how well God have created me to be that connected person for the younger people to be encouraged to take a chance on the blues. They might not understand it, but they will take a chance on it. And then when I get through having fun with them and really making them, you know, at least sit and listen. You don't have to do this. But check it out, and you just might like it. And I haven't lost a client yet. Not yet.
Well, thank you for going into all the schools. Bless you. And all of you listening, get this book, Love is King. I love the title. It made me think of Corinthians 13, that love always prevails and love never fails. Shirley King, Love is King, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And Shirley, we'll be back with just a few seconds to pull up some questions of some of the fans here. And I'll be back with you in just a second. We'll listen to your dad for a moment and be right back with some questions with the daughter of the blues. Welcome back, and we have a question for Richard and Shirley here from Angela Mary Lake in the town of Remington asking, what is the blues about? What's the heart of the blues? Well, I'll say real quick, then turn to Shirley. I think the blues is something you go through things. Maybe you love someone and they're far away, or unrequited love for a while, or maybe you've been done wrong or hurting or heartache, and it's that feeling of channeling that pain, that sorrow into every note, which B.B. does and which the daughter of the blues, Shirley, does when she sings. You feel that mojo working, as one blues song says, which is that charisma, that feeling, that thing coming from deep in your soul. How about you, Shirley? What would you say to Angela about Angela Mary Lake. What would you say to Angela Mary Lake? What is the blues about? How do some people feel the blues and others don't?
you have described it very well. But the icing that I'm going to put on that cake that you just made is the fact that we are the blues. We live the blues. We live the blues. It's not hard to sing something that somebody got you singing, but when you live something, you can put the emotion into it because it's who you are. And that's why when I go around some Afro-Americans and they say, we don't want to listen to the blues because we going through the blues, and I have to explain to them, and you're going to forever go through it because that's who you are. Your struggles and everything made you strong, and this was the music that encouraged you to carry on. You didn't give up on life because you had this strength inside of you, which blues is gospel church inside out. If you sing blues, you sing it about something here on earth. When you sing gospel, you sing in the blues, but you sing it to God. You sing about the hereafter, something that you're looking forward to that's not right now, but it is supposed to be. When you sing the blues, you're singing about your situation, your problem, the life you're going through, the life you live, the person you was in love with, all that, but it's really the outside end of the gospel.
Oh, we have a question from Lynn in Memphis about you've carried on your dad's legacy in the blues so well. And Lynn asked, was there ever a struggle in also finding your own voice, your own creativity, if people trying to just put it that you're your dad on you, which of course you carry that legacy, but also not being suppressed from your own individuality, how you dealt with that and how you came through that part of it?
As I started out talking to you earlier in this interview, I've been put through more in this past year and, say, 2 years than I've ever been put through in my life, because it seemed like when my father left here, nobody wanted Shirley King to exist. And I have had to do more fighting being B.B. King's daughter. Like, one of the magazines did a story on me, and they need a picture of me as a young person with my father. I can't even get that picture. So you tell me I don't have the blues. I mean, you know, we're talking 60 years ago, but I should be able to get a picture. And I'm looking at an auction that's going to auction off my father's passport, something that I would just love to hold on to and look at. So I'm saying that the struggle just really began when my father passed. When my father was living, I could run to him for protection, but now I don't have any protection. So I'm going through more, and that's why this book was even created, and this book is actually helping me be free of some of that. You know what I mean? I'm not begging anybody to help me. Now I'm helping myself, which is what my father always told me to do. He prepared me for this fight.
Well, you have that charisma, too, that is something God gives. We named our daughter Charis from the Greek in the Bible, meaning grace. And charisma comes from that, meaning graced. And I live in Hollywood, and I know other people whose parents were legends, you know, maybe actors, you know, and things like that, that don't have the same charisma and mojo of the parent. And so they get, like Warhol said, they might get 15 minutes of fame because people say they're the child of.
Praise
but if you don't have your own mojo, it don't last. And you got it.
Thank
you got
you,
it.
Jesus. I am so glad you said that, because I warned my sisters that, you know, they so used to daddy having them around telling people these are my kids and blah, blah, blah. And blah. So when they didn't have him, they ran out to the media and was saying and things that my dad would never appreciate. They know he wouldn't. And I told them, I said, don't do this, because there are way more people that love. They don't just love B.B. King. They worship him. And when you say these things, it's going to turn back and it's going to come back and bite you in the butt. And they took that chance and got 15 minutes of fame. Then I went on the internet and saw where people had turned on them because they said something negative about B.B. King. I found out in an early age, you better not never say nothing against B.B. King, because people listen to you. As soon as you act like you saying something negative about him, man, they'll get mad at you. I found that out through one mistake, and you better believe I have not did that again. So you have to be very careful how you present him, because he lived all his life with never a scandal, not one, mm-hmm. even when he was going through something. People didn't know that because the media, everybody loved him so well, they didn't throw his stuff out here to make him look bad. You know, when his tax got, he got caught up in the tax thing, you never heard about that. But the rest of the famous people that got caught up, it was talked about. So I learned that my dad was such a smart spiritual man. He wasn't just a blues musician or some famous blues person. He was a spiritual guidance for me. And all I had to do is really believe and trust in what he was telling me, because he was never going to tell me anything wrong. Before he would do that, he wouldn't say anything at all. And he always tried to help me stand my ground as his daughter, because I've always had to try to make people believe that's my dad. I always had to try to prove something to somebody. And it, you know, it was sort of a bullying, a thing that I went through, that I felt bullied by everybody, especially by the blues world. Oh, my God. And so my dad was something so special. And he didn't just do it to me. Any person came along and they seemed like they wanted to listen to him, he would sit you down and act like you was kin to him. He would talk to you as he would his own. You know, he was very much in tune and wanted to help people solve their problems.
He really was. He was blessed by God, not only with talent, but with the spiritual ability to inspire others. A pop star from the 70s, David Cassidy, told us a story that when he, before he blew up, he had this show, Partridge Family, had a bunch of hits. But he said right before he blew up, B.B. King was his hero, and he went to see him here in L.A.
God.
At a club. Yeah, and David Cassidy said, can I
that.
Please carry your guitar? Just let me carry Lucille. And as he was carrying Lucille, B.B. King turned to David and said, go with your music. You love it. You know, go with it, and you are going to have doors open soon and be really big, so don't give up, son. And he let him carry Lucille, and he pretty much prophesied over him that he was about to break out musically.
Oh, my God! I need, because I'm getting ready to go on a tour. I'm doing this on my own. I don't have anybody supporting me or helping me, because people rather, you know, find a way to not like me. And you might say, well, why you don't like her? I don't know. I just don't like her. So I said, forget this. The book is an avenue for me to go out now and do speaking engagements and reach out to people. And my idea of reaching out is not to the famous people, because famous people need the down on the ground, the fans, to keep them famous. And my dad's fans are still grieving with me today. My dad's fans, I do a Facebook Live every Friday. It's like having a TV show, a radio show. And
oh,
so
great. Let's
I'm
tell
gonna,
the listeners, how do they, should they just go on Facebook and search Shirley King to do your, see your live thing?
They actually can. And my little PR play doing it is blowing it up on Facebook every time I'm on there. All they got to do is go to Shirley King, Daughter of the Blues, and then I got about 10 pages, but it will show you where I do the live. And the live remains on the Facebook page, but even there, I get threatened because I did one live, and because I played my dad's song, they sent me a thing and said they was going to take it down because I didn't have permission to do that song on my Facebook Live. And I'm going, but I recorded that song, so why can't I do something that I recorded? But that, you know, just goes to show you how people don't want me to rise. And I say,
well, let
God,
me ask you, Shirley, we just found Shirley King, Daughter of the Blues. One has a picture of you with a microphone. The other has a picture of you and your dad. Is one better than the other to access your Friday live broadcast?
The one where I'm with this, I put my beautiful picture back on there. So the one where I'm up at the top as a, with a cover, and my dad is down up under as a profile, that's the one I do the live on. In fact, I will have my my author and my agent to put that out there so people will know how to find me every Friday. Every Friday, I don't care if I'm out doing a show somewhere. I try to go on and let the people know, because there are people that's been crying with me, praying for me, and trying to keep me strong. Because when my father left here, I didn't feel so strong. I didn't want to really stay here. But I have
gotten
so much.
I just found it because it mentions our interview on here, and it has a picture of you and Dad. And I'm going to like it right now. So I want you all to go to Facebook and facebook.com/daughter-of-the-blues-Shirley-King. Just search Daughter of the Blues Shirley King. You'll see a picture of Shirley and her dad, BB, the father and daughter of the blues. And live every Friday. That's great, great, great.
Yes.
And get the book, Love is King. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Love is King.
I actually started that because it was such a hassle to be B.B. King's daughter after he passed. So I was able to have an audience at home in my bedroom. And I make it real fun because I tell people, some people out in the club having 10 or 15 people. I'm in my bedroom with 200 to 300.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love it. Well, you sure got your mojo working. You're a hoochie-coochie woman all the way, Shirley.
Ooh, I just love the way you talk to me. I'm going to have to come visit you real soon. Where are you located at?
Well, we're in Hollywood here, in North Hollywood, and we got to see your daddy at Saban Theater, one of his last shows out here.
Well, in the book, it will talk about me living in California, and I spent many days in all the California area. Why? Because my dad's sister had a cleaning business, and we would go out, and I would go out with her sometime, and they would clean people's house, like Cheryl and Sonny and all. I mean, they had some famous people, clients, that they would do, and I worked that place. California was like the home base for me for at least about 12 years. So a record label there, Cleopatra Records, have, you know, perhaps discussed having a record deal for me to do something, and it's in the image of Nat King Cole and Natalie Cole. And when they said that, I'm going like, how come y'all are winning my mind? Because, yeah, because that's what I'm working on my, you know, trying to do myself. But if a record label, a known record label, would get behind me, that would be good for all that's involved, along with the book.
Mm. Well,
and
I'm going to put that out there because I
know
people out here in that business. And were you thinking something like where you, like Natalie did, where you could have the old recordings of your dad and then sing with him through the magic of technology that same way?
That's what Cleopatra Records was tonight. Because I go like, well, they won't even let me do nothing in my dad's name. They say, don't worry about that. We have some of your dad's stuff. So that said it all to me right there, because people that's going to make money off of my dad's name and legacy and image, you know, they already pretty much own what they need. And all I got to do is cooperate and be a part of that, you know, because they're going to do it whether I be involved or not, and I'm not able to do what I would like to do on my own. So I will be coming to California soon, because that's where all my father's family members are. They're out there, and my dad was like the overseer. Everybody else done died, and he was like the overseer. So now it's me and my cousin, the older. And, you know, this is amazing, because coming up with my dad's second new birthday, I'm actually in the same years that he really blew up, because he struggled until he got to 60-something. So it's actually falling in line for me in my 60s, just like my father did. And it's so like every day I meet and greet him. He's the sun now, and he finds me every day. Sometimes he shines so bright, I'd be like, okay, Daddy, I see you. You still want to be a big guy. But it's so amazing, because when I was reading his autobiography, it was saying about how he thought, man, I've been doing this ever since I was 19. I haven't made it yet. And he was struggling in his 60s until I think he got to about 66. Maybe even the same year, 67. And that's when he hooked up with Sid Seidenberg.
That's very, very true. And I think with the blues, you get better as you have more life experience. Like we said, answering the question of Angela Mary Lake, that the blues, a young person can play the licks, but they haven't lived the life yet to know what the blues are about.
Right, right. So you can actually sing what you live through. And you know, the other thing that I'm proud of my father, and I get a chance to have bragging rights, and I think a lot of people feel intimidated about that, but sometimes I try to explain to people, most blues people didn't get a chance to live their full life out. They died, you know, early and all this. My father made the whole, about 90 years, and he started doing blues when he was about 18. So he made it through this whole thing. You know, mm-hmm. he stayed here until he was almost 90 years old, and he never stopped singing the blues. He didn't take a break. He didn't stop for it because he always thought if he take a break, you know, he wouldn't be as famous and popular. So my dad always thought if I keep on being out here doing shows, people won't forget me. And when he got sick and couldn't do it anymore, I saw the sadness in his eyes because he would tell people when they said, BB, when you going to retire? He said, retire and do what? I'm doing something I love. I'll do this until I leave this earth. Or I'll do it until have some beautiful woman. I said, oh, Lord, please don't do it that way. That would bring shame. Don't do it with a beautiful woman. Do it until, you know, you just can't do it. And I actually got a chance to witness that. I saw my dad go down on the stage here in Chicago, October the 3rd, 2014. I saw him go down, and I saw him knowing I can't do it anymore. And that hurt it so bad because I was sitting right up over his head. I could have jumped right on the stage and helped him like some of the other famous kids have did with their parents, but no one would let me do it. They wouldn't even let me see my father being hauled away to the hospital. I didn't see him until in December, and he was like, not good. So I just thank God for all the things that he let me see and also the experience he let me have, because I did get a chance to do a normal Christmas, spend a father Christmas with my father in the end. 2014 was his last Christmas, and I got a chance to be with him during Christmas night. He was very sick, but he sat up and tried to entertain his family. So for the whole world to try to act like his family was not important to him, I don't get that. I don't get that. Everybody else famous kids are getting a chance to ride on their parents' name, but not Shirley King. So I appreciate what my father tried to do, and I think he did a wonderful job. I think he was the best father in the world.
Yeah, and you're the best daughter in the world, and it's been a blessing to talk to you, Shirley, and we're going to be praying for this duet project to blow up and be blessed. Deuteronomy 28, blessed when you go out, blessed when you come in.
Thank you so much. I really love you. You talk a wonderful, peaceful, loving. Oh, I love it. I got to get out there. We got to go and have lunch.
Oh, that'd be great. We love you too, and we're going to be just praying for knowing six words for you, daughter of the blues. The best is yet to come.
Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm going to buy me a special airplane ticket and come see you. You just make sure I get the information where you're going to be at, because I'm going to find you. I am going to find you and give you a big holy hug.
Okay, Shirley, we'll give each other a big holy hug, and we'll have to introduce you to some of our music friends out here.
Okay, then. We'll stay in touch.
Okay, well, God bless you, and God bless the book, Love is King. It was a blessing talking to you, Shirley.
Okay, and I'll be looking for you on Facebook Live. Just hit me up and say something so I know it's you.
Okay, I sure will. God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Love you.
Love you,
bye-bye.
Too. And thank you to all our listeners. We love all of you for listening in, and we want to dedicate this closing B.B. King song to our callers Memphis Lynn and Angela Mary Lake in the town of Remington. A little blues from B.B. King to close us out. Listen to this.
Oh,
Thank you for listening to Richard Rossi Live. And if you want to share this show of the Daughter of the Blues, feel free to share the link.